very much. Item 31, ma'am.
Item number 31, from the Deputy Director, Department of Human Resources, submitting informational reports relative to reclassification of existing positions, advancement within the pay range, reallocations of non-represented positions, revisions to executive compensation plan positions, appointments at an advanced step of the pay range, dual employment, temporary assignments to a higher classification, temporary appointments, and emergency appointments. Recommendations to be implemented unless supervisors object.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. Maybe other people remembered, and I didn't bring along Mr. Bargan, did look into some of these areas here and saying where the board has. We've been through this the last couple of months, whether, you know, our role, you know, can we do anything and can we not? I'll have a question in a second. I just want to do a quick aside. I had a constituent concern, and Mr. Bargan somehow today got some information back to me in an email, so I thought that was commendable. Thank you. My question is, in this budget, Mr. Session, did we not, as part of the budget, you know, the county exec is talking about 2% raise and doing some other things, and was it no step increases in the budget? Or Mr. Fudge knows that.
Yeah, Mr.
So that's
Chairman,
that's
Supervisor,
correct, right?
in the 1950 budget,
okay.
I believe there is a step freeze provision.
Okay.
Is that correct?
So I don't want to belabor this point because I think it's a point we don't have any, and Mr. Bargan and listening to this then too. So as far as advances within the pay range, if I remember his memo, which I don't have in front of me right now, but I did read it, okay, and it said what we could or could not do in some of these. It's either administrative or it's a policy for the board. My reading of the memo, if I remember correctly, was as far for advancements within the pay range, we have no say in that. Can I just have a nod if that's correct? Okay, so that's correct. So, again, these
that's
things.
That's their opinion.
Okay, that's their opinion.
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess my question or my thought process in all this, too, is that, you know, we're not given step increases, but we can give advancement within the pay range. Am I correct in saying that's 6 1/2 dozen of another? I mean, if you can't do a step increase, well, you just give a pay, you know. So we're making decisions for some people to give raises we can't give to everybody else. I mean, I guess that's just the way it goes, though.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the step increases are relatively automatic escalators for everybody.
Okay.
In theory, they're supposed to be pegged to the completion of a satisfactory performance evaluation. We're getting back to that point, I think. But generally, on your anniversary date, you escalate up a step until you reach the top. So the provision in 1950 in the budget would prevent that from happening, and we've done this in the past couple of years. Through ordinance changes that have applied to everybody. The advancement within the pay range is more of an individual decision at the appointing authority's discretion, if that clarifies that for you.
Okay. And it was Corporation Counsel's opinion that's something that the board doesn't have any real say about. That's an administrative decision.
Well, Chairman, Mr. Supervisor, if I may, my opinion, is that the reclassifications are matters of administrative day-to-day management. Reallocation of existing non-represented classifications does remain subject to board approval because there's a specific statute that addresses that. Reallocation for exempt employees, non-classified employees, would be a day-to-day management decision. I'm sorry.
Reallocations
for
non-management.
Yeah. And then, to your point, advancement within a pay range under 1710, this is a day-to-day administrative decision that should not be addressed by the board.
Supervisor Cullen and Supervisor Lipscomb.
So just so the people in this room are clear, that's your opinion on what the legislation does, and that may or may not end up being litigated, and you are not the final arbiter of that.
Well, no. I mean, I'm not the law. No. I'm just trying to read the law and apply it.
And then I just had a question about, we had a discussion during the budget about this liaison community relations, and Ms. Maureen suggested that it may have been filled the following Monday after she said that it was, remember we had the discussion, I don't know if you were in the room, where I said, is this position filled? And she said yes, but actually the person was leaving a couple days later. So I mean, it was technically a correct answer, but not really a correct answer. And she thought maybe it would be filled by that Monday. Has that position been filled?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, my understanding is that an offer has been made. I'm not sure if the offer was accepted yet, but I believe they do have a candidate.
Okay. And then in discussing that pay range, I think we discussed that we still would have the ability to not fund that money. I'm sure that the county executive could find $5,000 in his budget if he wanted to fund that at a higher level. But if you remember, just sort of refreshing everybody's recollection about that discussion, that the incumbent was making $49,000, but in order to hire somebody new, we had to pay $54,000 apparently.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, Mr. Grady was just reminding me to point out maybe that anytime any of these advancements in the pay ranges come along, or reclassifications, or any other sort of action like this, it requires the department to have sufficient funds in the budget to do that. If they need more money, they would have to come to the board to seek a fund transfer or come up with a funding somewhere else.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Just wanted to follow up on that reallocations. I believe the answer was that non-reps are still, those allocations of non-reps are still subject to the purview of the board.
Classified employees, civil service employees. Yes.
Okay. By virtue of an ordinance that places them there, would an ordinance have the same effect relative to others? And if not, why not?
Chairman, Mr. Supervisors, my opinion on that fact was based primarily on a statute from the state that's in the civil service provisions for the Milwaukee County Civil Service System, Chapter 63, that directs that the county board shall set up a schedule of salaries and positions and so on for the classified civil service employees. There's no comparable statute for the exempt employees. So it wasn't a matter of ordinance. It was a matter of trying to conform county practice and, to an extent, ordinance to statute.
Right. So, I mean, so we expressly have that by statute for non-reps. But would an ordinance be effective?
I don't know. I mean, bottom line, no. An ordinance that's counter to a statute would not be effective.
I'm sorry, not against the statute giving us that or providing that, but I'm sorry, an ordinance that would apply to exempt employees expressing the policy of the county.
There I look at the provisions of Act 14, basically, that delineate the county board and the executive powers or duties, and the changes in the statute did not address this statute that I'm talking about for the civil service employees. It left other unaddressed things that are day-to-day administration within the county executive's purview. And so, to me, that allocation for exempt employees falls within that. So that portion of the statute trumps the others. So that would trump an ordinance, too, I believe.
I think this is an evolving area, but when you read the Attorney General's opinion to your predecessor regarding lobbying and the effectiveness of an ordinance in prescribing the parameters of lobbying activity, it seems clear that there's a distinction between what might be limited day-to-day interaction versus an expression of policy through an ordinance. And it seemed that he clearly saw that a board could prescribe policy by ordinance that would set the parameters under which the executive would carry out his day-to-day duties.
There's no question that the board's, Chairman and Supervisor, there's no question that the board's powers to set policy remain. Some of this boils down to a question or an opinion as to what's policy versus day-to-day administration. Not much guidance was provided in the statute on that, so I tried to look elsewhere at some other authorities too.
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor Phillips?
Just sort of to follow up on some of the questions I asked, and I, this isn't personal with anybody, but I sort of remember Ms. Marine saying that these positions within the county executive's office, it wasn't much of a raise, it was like 5%. Do you remember that discussion? Do you remember that comment at all?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I wasn't in the room at that point.
Mr. Fudge, do you remember that?
Follow along.
It's 4 and 5%. That's what we talked about.
Okay. Do you remember that?
I can calculate it right now.
No, I can calculate it too. It looks like whoever the senior assistant executive is getting somewhere between 8 and 9%, it appears. I mean, if I'm doing my math right, maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. 34.6 to 37.7.
Mm-hmm. One is over the other.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, it looks like about 8.8%.
Yeah. So not 5, and not 1 or 2 as other employees. And the justification is that was provided by your department, right? You guys write this justification or plop it in here?
Correct.
Your guys? It says the employee holds a position which is critical to the operation of their department, and if the request is necessary to retain the employee in county service. Did you have some indication that this employee would leave county service if they weren't given an 8.8% raise?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, specifically on this employee, and I really am hesitant to discuss the employment factors of a particular employee in open session. And I can't stress that enough. I think we often get into these gray areas where we talk about people, and the state law provides that we can go into closed session to discuss employment matters for particular people. And I would encourage the committee to make use of that provision in state law in the future. Now, with regard to your specific question, I do not know the answer to that.
But, I mean, this is your language. I mean, I'm just using the language that you provide for the justification. How are we supposed to get information? I mean,
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I guess inherent in the request from the department is an argument that we need to bump up this person's salary in order to retain this person. We're not privy to that conversation that occurs internally in a department. We have to work with what the department gives us.
Okay. I accept that, but there's nobody from the county executive's office here, so you had to bear the brunt of that question. Okay, that's all I've got. This, so the record's clear, this is more than 5% and more than the 2% that was recommended for every other employee.
Thank you, Supervisor.
And clearly, it can't.
Any other comments, questions? Either gentleman? Mr. Fudge?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, I just wanted to clarify on Amendment 2. Amendment 2 will only impact reclassifications, reallocations, and abolish and creates, so there won't be any impact of appointments at advanced pay range or advancements within the pay range. Those mm-hmm. costs will have to be absorbed by the department. So I just wanted to clarify that, and if I'm wrong on that, I will let you know tomorrow.
And Dr. Colton has walked into the room. Dr. Colton, you are representative of the county executive's office, was asked for earlier. Supervisor Collins.
Well, I'll respect Mr. Sessions' opinion that, you know, this may be something that we should discuss in closed session, and that's fine. I guess I just wanted to make the point that maybe Ms. Marine wasn't totally candid with us when she was here, when she said that position was filled, even though that the incumbent was leaving within about 2 days. And then she said that there were about 5% increases, and it took me about 5 seconds to do the math and determine it was significantly more than that. That's my point.
Thank you, Supervisor. Any other? Dr. Colton?
Chairman, just to clarify, the person that was in that position was already receiving the higher amount prior to when he left.
How's that? Do we have clarification?
Before he left, so that would be the
scale there,
community services
on the upper
position.
End of the sliding scale versus the lower end.
I'm sorry.
So was it budgeted at 49.7, and then but you were able to find the money within your budget to give them? I don't really know mechanically how that works.
Chairman, our 2014 budget doesn't ask for. I don't believe we're asking for more money in the 2014 budget.
Actually, you are, but I'm just talking about 2013. Was this position budgeted at 49.702? Is this the position we're talking about? The community relations
yes.
person? Is that the one you meant?
Yes.
Okay. So was that budgeted in 2013 at 49.702? You know, Mr. Fudge? In last year's budget.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, for 2013, it was budgeted at $49,844.
But then what you said then, this person was already receiving the $54,000 that is asked for in this report, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So they were as tight as our budgets are, they had no trouble finding the $5,000 within their staff and stuff budget to get those.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I only know this from personal experience. The Director of Strategic Planning position has been vacant for some time, and so they probably would have used the salary dollars for that, and I know they're looking to fill that position. So it's, especially in a small budget like the County Executive's Office and others, when there are an individual position may not anticipate it to be vacant, but when they are, that vacancy and turnover savings can be used.
Well, and Mr. Chair, I guess my point is that I've shared with some people on the committee an amendment that I'm going to be introducing tomorrow regarding staff, and I'm sure if we get administration to come, they're going to say, "Boy, you can't do this. We cannot afford this. We're already operating on bare bones." And but then we see that even in a small department like this, and I'm not meaning to pick on the county executive because I think we can see it in other departments, that sort of where there's a will, there's a way. And, if we ask them to do a little more with a little bit less, I think they can do it. Obviously, they did this year, and now they budgeted for the larger amount. So I just keep that in mind for tomorrow.
Thank you. Supervisor Lipscomb?
I just want a clarification. So what I heard from, I don't necessarily agree with Corp Counsel. What I'm hearing from them is that we don't get to vote on it or we can't pull it out. But then what I felt like I heard from the executive's office is that they implemented this even before reporting it. They just unilaterally did that. And I'm trying to understand what the actual effect. How, first of all, how that's possible, but second, what the actual effect is on a now vacant position. I mean, the whole justification was retention. Apparently, they didn't retain them even with the 10% increase. But technically, how does it occur that they're able to just move them without approval, without even notification, or who has the authority now? They have unilateral authority.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, no department has unilateral authority to increase the compensation for an employee. They must go through HR to do an evaluation, to do a review of the classification, make sure that everything is done according to our rules. The fact that this person had been receiving that higher pay is frankly news to me. Even though we've had the interpretation from Corporation Counsel that we no longer required the approval of the Finance Committee to implement changes, we had been holding those changes until we've presented them to you. So I wasn't aware that this one had gone through. But that's to be more precise, the County Executive's Office did not unilaterally give more compensation to that individual.
Well, they did, apparently. But you're saying normally the process would be that you would you would approve it and it would take effect after it's been reported. They jumped ahead of that process uniquely in the exec's office and started paying it out ahead of time.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, Human Resources is the one that's responsible for updating the information in our payroll systems to implement increases.
Okay. All right. So somehow the county executive's office was able to do that. I mean, it's the same way it stands out in the chart that there's increase disproportionate to any others. They clearly get different treatment. I mean, it's a cabinet position, I guess, and I can't imagine that they get a whole lot of pushback to whatever they want done, and that just really illustrates the ridiculousness that there'd be a paring back on oversight. But.
Dr. Colton, and then we'll go to another item. Dr. Colton.
Chairman, just to clarify, these raises were based on a professional review of positions in the county. They were given to many other positions in the county, I think. There's been over 200 raises this year to various positions. These are just two of them. HR did review it and approve the raises also.
I don't want to belabor this, but are you contradicting what Mr. Sessions said? Mr. Sessions seemed to say that HR didn't know anything about it. You seem to say that this person would have gotten a raise and went through this whatever procedure, and it was signed off by HR.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, what I said was I didn't know anything about it. It's entirely possible our compensation division had gone ahead and made that implementation without my knowledge.
Okay. I think we got a good sense of what the process is or is not about, and I'm ready to move on. Something else? Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. With these compensation studies and these compensation surveys and responses going back to HR, as was intimated, 200 raises or so have been given this year, according to Dr. Colton. So we need to keep our eyes open. Keep our eyes open.
200 raises.
Number 33, please.